This is a story update on the Hidden Killers podcast from True Crime Today.
I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of our updates, conversations, and breaking stories as we have them for you here in the podcast. More this week when the Alex Murdaugh trial goes back into court. We'll, of course, cover that for you here. I just thought this was an interesting antidote from the week that was kind of overlooked in light of everything that was going on in the court itself. As you know, and you've probably heard many times, the Murdaugh family in South Carolina's Lowcountry is a bit of a dynasty. It's been around for quite some time, from grandfather to great-grandfather to great-great-grandfather. And when you're a big fish in a small pond and you wield authority, you know, things can kind of go your way and you can kind of control things for quite some time. And sometimes that power leads to problems, as it seemed to have done ultimately with Alex Murdaugh. A life that was led with everything being handed out. A life that, you know, one could almost say, well, because generationally so much was built here, and then the next generation had everything right out of the gate, and the next one had everything right out of the gate. If you have no perspective on life and you have no perspective on what it takes to earn things, to get things, and the value of things, whether they be just things or people, you get a little more disconnected, and maybe disconnected enough to do what Alex Murdaugh is accused of doing in terms of murdering his wife and son. Obviously, it wasn't a bridge too far for many other things in his life, the stealing from his own company, the stealing from his clients, stealing from the family of the housekeeper, woman, nanny person that's been called so many different things, who basically raised his children, and taking her life insurance policy from her family. Still want to know more about that death. Seems a little bit suspicious. But if you think the suspicious behavior starts and ends with Alex Murdaugh, this goes back. I've always wondered how deep it goes back with Alex Murdaugh, because it seems they've dug a little bit enough to find enough to go after somebody with. But I'd be curious if that digging continued, what else he would find on Alex. Obviously, he's accused of shooting his wife, Maggie, 52, and son, Paul, who was 22, at their sprawling hunting property in Islington, the rural corner of South Carolina's Lowcountry, that happened on June 7th of 2021. And in that courthouse where he is being tried, there is a picture. A picture of the late 14th Circuit Solicitor Randolph Buster Murdaugh Jr. However, because in light of what's going on right now, the judge ordered the removal of the portrait of the late 14th Circuit Solicitor Randolph Buster Murdaugh Jr. as opening arguments began in his grandson's trial. It was a bit much to have that up on the wall. Kind of a symbol of power, a symbol of overstepping power for far too long. The history of this man is very interesting as well, and death by questionable circumstances as well. Three generations of this family. It starts back in the 14th Circuit. That's the area that they're in. In 1920, all the way back to 1920, his great-grandfather, Randolph Murdaugh Sr., who in 1920 was elected solicitor for the 14th Judicial Circuit, a large swath of South Carolina covering five counties. So this is, you know, it's like a small kingdom. He died in 1940 under mysterious circumstances. So you want to go back to mystery and weirdness in the Murdaugh family? It takes it back to the man who started this dynasty. His car mysteriously stopped on a railroad crossing as a train bore down in the middle of the night. The engineer of that train, he said this wasn't normal. The car had come to a stop before reaching the tracks. And then just as the train approached, it lurched ahead and stopped directly on the track. That's what it reports from the Greenville News going back to 1940. Car sitting there, train's coming, accelerates for some reason. There was speculation at the time of suicide, or that a medical incident or alcohol may have played a role, but officially, the death was just ruled accidental. Nobody really knows why he ended his life, or if it was, in fact, some sort of an accident. Very strangely, three generations later, his grandson would attempt to convene, if you will, his own murder, allegedly, which failed ultimately, in an attempt, as it is said, to get insurance money for his surviving son. Murdaugh's sons, going back to the 1940s here, Randolph Buster Murdaugh Jr., not taking a moment to try and capitalize on the death of someone near him, filed a wrongful death suit, blaming the railroad, which was settled out of court on undisclosed terms. Murdaugh Jr. succeeded his father as solicitor. He served from 1940 to 1986 and was running unopposed in all but two of the elections across that 46-year tenure. In turn, his son, Randolph Murdaugh III, succeeded him in 86 and ran unopposed in every election until his retirement in 2006. So just imagine, if there's something going on in that area, you want it to get done, you need approval, you need the blessing of someone, you have someone that's against you in that Murdaugh family, it's probably not going to happen, or it's going to happen based solely on the opinions of this dynasty. Murdaugh III died of cancer just days after Alex Murdaugh's wife and son were shot. In fact, he's even part of the alibi. Alec Murdaugh's alibi following the murders was that he was visiting his father in the hospital. That's what he says. However, prosecutors say that the cell phone data, it places him at the scene of the crime, not at the hospital. During the opening arguments this week, Alec Murdaugh wept as the prosecutor said a family weapon was used to kill his wife. With like having a family weapon, gunshot residue was found on his seatbelt. So how strong are these bonds? Obviously, it goes many generation, father to son, to son, to son, to son. There is still a son living, and his name is Buster, named after the family relative that goes back several generations. But where does Buster stand on all this? That's been the question, it seems, from many. The answer to that, well, he is expected to testify against his father. He's been sitting inside the courtroom during the horrifying opening statements. I can't imagine trying to absorb all of that, the trauma that that in itself would cause beyond what he's already gone through. But it seems maybe the line of trust from generation to generation of Murdaughs has finally been broken. And it took one madman to do it and one son to finally say, we're done. We are done with this dynasty. Trial coverage, of course, picks back up this week, and we will have it all for you here. So be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of that as we bring it to you throughout the week. Until next time, for all of us here at True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.